Because it says here in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, any of us that are born as sons of Adam can say, that's me. It was a time when I walked according to the course of this world, when I was servant to the prince of the power of the air, influenced by Satan himself, and the very spirit, notice, that works in currently the children of disobedience. So by way of comparison, those that are children of disobedience versus those who are children of obedience. And here's where there's enough in Scripture to ensnare people as they read who don't have the Spirit of God, because most people, when they read that, they think, ah, now I've got to furnish some kind of obedience to distinguish myself from children of disobedience. But read on. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And notice, and were by nature children of wrath. It never says that these were actually children of wrath, because we know in Scripture there are those that are vessels of wrath, and we know those that are vessels of honor. But by nature children of wrath, even if we're chosen children of God, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, yet our nature is no different than that of the children of wrath. Left to ourselves, we could never have worked out how God could be just and justified. But in Christ, we see the wisdom of God. He can both be just, not lowering his standard, but justifier, and that so complete was the work of Jesus Christ. When he finished the work, there remained nothing but righteousness to impute. And that's the very next word, righteousness. If anybody talks about a righteousness other than that which God imputed there at the cross, they don't know the righteousness of God, because that's all of God's righteousness right there when he said, it's finished, it's finished. And sanctification, being set apart in him, I wasn't even there. And yet, in God's purpose, when Christ died and paid the debt, worked out this salvation, it was on my behalf. I was set apart in him. And redemption, what he accomplished at the cross, but then the final redemption of this body. That's why it's put last there. We await, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, like the creation groans and awaits that day when mortality will take on immortality, corruption will take on incorruption. But all of this, that he that glorieth, let the glory of the Lord.
Remember, Balaam couldn't be brought to curse the children of Israel directly. But here it's very clear in verse 16, Numbers 31, that it was through his counsel that he sought a way around the clear parameters that God had set to keep him from cursing Israel. And I imagine for a while he thought he'd gotten away with something. I imagine for a while he did. He thought, well, I got one up on God. Isn't it interesting that God does not react as we react? He does not show anger. Anger is not a passion with God. We read it that way sometimes, but it's a judgment. If you could just picture a judge in a monotone, if you will, without any emotion, standing up and reading an execution statement against a convicted criminal in front of him. You know, it's the law. It's not how you say it or how you, it's the law. It's God exercising justice. And while it may have seemed for a time to be a victory for Balaam in bringing this people down, yet God held him to account. And it was in God's time that he exercised his justice and even brought the death of Balaam.